Not long ago, I was privileged to visit with a member of our congregation about her faith. She said, "I get it here," pointing to her head, "but I really struggle here." She said, "I pray and pray and pray, but I just don't feel it. I have so many doubts." I said to her, "That is faith." Our sister has been through the ringer. I'm not going into any details, but you can imagine. We have friends in our congregation facing significant challenges with their health: heart disease, cancer, diabetes, dementia. We have others who bear the burden of mental illness or addiction. Some are trying to care for children or parents under difficult circumstances. Others are having trouble at work or in their marriage. Our sister was dealing with more than her share of such things. Add to this everything she sees going on in our nation and in our world: the lack of integrity and vision in so many of our leaders, the suffocating violence, racism, sexism, body shaming, rampant hunger and disease, $600 EpiPens and $19 million salaries, not to mention the corruption and animosity that keeps us from working together, crossing party lines and racial barriers to create justice, prosperity, and peace for all people. It's no wonder our sister has doubts and questions in her heart. Our sister has been through the ringer. She sees clearly the pain and suffering in our world. Her heart goes out to people she doesn't even know. She feels vulnerable, helpless. She's holding on to her life and her faith as tight as she can. And she prays and prays and prays. Beloved, that is faith. Many of us confuse faith with right belief and doctrine, having the right answers to life's questions, being on the right side of the culture wars. We start to wonder when we don't believe everything in the Apostles' Creed. We get defensive when our childhood faith is challenged by scientific or historical realities. Yes, it's hard to hear, but Jesus didn't speak in red letters. Yeah, think about it. Or the vernacular of King James. Right belief wasn't our sister's stumbling block. She is deeply committed intellectually. She reads her Bible. She reads other books and commentaries. She reads theologians like Emil Brunner, Bonhoeffer, and Barth. She reads books on spirituality and discipleship. She reads more than I do. Things make sense to her intellectually. But she knows there is more to faith than right belief. Her stumbling block is a matter of heart. Friends, here's where we make another common mistake about faith. We often confuse faith with assurance or conviction in our hearts. We look for signs. We want proof so we can be sure. But it takes no faith to believe something we already know. Here is where our sister struggled. She was looking for assurance that the faith she had placed in God intellectually was well-founded. She wanted assurance that all she believed about God's love and providence, God's mercy and grace, was true. It all made sense, but she didn't feel it. There was just so much in her life and in the world weighing on her heart. The joy of faith, the passion eluded her. Friends, you know better than I do, she's not alone. There are more people in this sanctuary than we might imagine who feel much the same way. Lord, I believe. Lord, I want to believe. Help my unbelief. Like our sister, you keep striving, grasping to find just a little more faith. You read, you pray, you meditate. You grow spiritually. You feel better physically. You find inner peace for a time, but it is fleeting. You still struggle with your faith. When you return to the real world, your burdens are still there. You don't feel your faith is growing. The joy, the passion still eludes you. When it comes to faith, you just aren't feeling it. The good news, the problem is not your faith. Like our sister, you pray and pray and pray to Jesus. You pray for your family and friends. You pray for people you don't even know. You pray for your relationship with Christ. You pray for your faith. How could you pray without faith? You can't. Beloved, it takes faith to pray. So you have a deep and abiding faith. You pray even when you're not feeling it. You pray even when your heart is filled with doubt. Beloved, that's faith. And a little goes a long way. Increase our faith. That was their prayer. Hearing the consequences for causing a little one to stumble. Hearing they must forgive anyone who sins and repents, no matter how many times. This is the disciples' prayer. Increase our faith. No question, Jesus demands radical obedience from his disciples. We're never to be the cause of another sin. It'd be better for a great millstone to be hung around our neck. We must practice extravagant forgiveness. If someone sins against you 7 times a day and says, "I repent," you must forgive. Is Jesus demanding too much? No. For even with a little faith, we can do amazing things. Hearing what Jesus demands of us, his disciples pray, increase our faith. And Jesus says, no. You heard me right. Jesus says, no. If you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, "Be uprooted and planted in the sea," and it would obey you. Is Jesus kidding? No. The disciples are asking for the wrong thing. They have enough faith. They only need faith the size of a mustard seed. They have enough faith. They need humility. Jesus says, even if they only had faith the size of a mustard seed, the smallest of the seeds, they could do amazing things. Clearly, they have at least that much faith, probably more. They have left homes, jobs, and families to follow Jesus. They have endured hardships on the road. Their future is uncertain, and they are still following Jesus. That's faith. The disciples have faith. What they need is humility. With even a little faith, we can do amazing things. But Jesus isn't calling us to do amazing things. We're not supposed to follow Jesus because of the power and the glory. Jesus is calling us to do our duty. Jesus is calling us to be faithful in our service. We don't have to command mulberry trees to be uprooted and planted in the sea. We simply have to live lives of mercy and forgiveness, grace, and generosity. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who among you would say to your slave who's just come in from plowing or tending the sheep, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'?" No one would. They would expect their slave to do their duty. Jesus says, "Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you can eat and drink'?" Of course, that's what they would do. That's how it works with slaves. Now, I hope we're all uncomfortable with this imagery. Slavery is abhorrent. But Jesus was not speaking to people who shared our sensibilities about equal rights or the sanctity of human life. It was a different world, though maybe not as different as we might like to believe. Jesus was speaking to people who maybe were slaves or even owned slaves. They understood what he was saying. Jesus was saying, slaves do what they're told. Their work is hard, demanding, and ordinary. They often do the work no one else wants to do, with little reward. So it is with disciples of Jesus. God may ask great things of us at times, but more often than not, God simply asks us to serve, to do our duty humbly and faithfully. This morning, we heard Tammy, Emmeline, and Joanna offer a moving and powerful testimony about their experience in Africa. In a couple weeks, we'll be sending a group to do good work in West Virginia, helping people put their lives back together. In November, five of us will be heading to Cuba to continue our ministry of reconciliation with the Presbyterian Church of Guanabacoa. These are all amazing and life-changing opportunities for ministry. But not everyone is capable of doing these kinds of ministries. Sometimes we're limited by time or money, responsibilities at work, commitments at school. Sometimes our physical health or our emotional well-being will not allow it. Sometimes we don't have the skill set or the calling. You should have seen me trying to cut jeans Wednesday night. We wish we could do more. Friends, if you have the opportunity to do great things for God, mentoring with family partnership, volunteering at HelpLink, spending a night at Safe Harbor, going on mission trips, swinging a hammer at Habitat, working with Food Rescue, teaching our children, advising our youth, singing in our choir, visiting at the hospital. If you have the opportunity to do great things for God, thanks be to God. We are grateful for all that you do. If you're not one of those people, if coming to worship is an ordeal, if even praying is a challenge, if your heart says yes, but your body says no, hear the good news. You don't have to command mulberry trees be uprooted and planted in the sea. All God asks is you serve God in ordinary, humble acts of faith. For God knows even a little faith goes a long way. Thanks be to God.